Covering the crew all season long on WTMJ, it's Brewers Extra Innings. Now live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios in downtown Milwaukee at the Avenue, here is your host, Dominic Cotroneo.
Welcome in to Wrigley Field as the Brewers, whew, what a game. I mean, aside from everything, we'll get into all of it, I promise. But what a game, man. 6-5 the final today at Wrigley. The Cubs win. Sunday will be a rubber match. Brewers were down 5-0 heading to the top of the seventh inning, and they made this game into a 6-5 ball game. That was super fun. 855-616-1620 is the phone number. Once again, 855-616-1620 if you want to join us here on the program. Let's go ahead and address the umpire stuff, because I don't think this is a show that deserves a full flip-the-table umpire reaction. Did Hunter Wendelstedt miss a call there on Brian Hudson in the bottom of the eighth inning? Yes, he did. Did Patrick Wisdom take that new life and get a base hit up the middle and score a go-ahead run, which turned out to be the game-winning RBI? Yes, he also did. But also, Brian Hudson balked the runner to second base. That was the right call. He didn't come set. If Hudson doesn't balk, you don't have to worry about the called strike. And then it's a base hit, and you got runners on the corners, and you can get out of it. My question, really, I don't think it was that bad of a call. The K-zone obviously says strike, and it's within millimeters of being a ball. I understand it's hard. At the same time, it's a call that needs to happen, and AAA would have been challenged, would have been called strike three. So it's like, what does baseball want? That is one of those calls, if you listened on Tuesday, when we're talking about umpire accuracy, and Hunter didn't have a perfect game today, but I don't think he had a bad one. There was a couple here and there. Brewer certainly, I mean, Tobias got a couple of gifts in that rough first inning. I don't think that was the reason the Brewers lost. I truly don't. You know what the reason the Brewers lost was today? He had a man on second base with nobody out in the meat of your order coming up, and he did not move from second base. That was in the seventh inning. The Brewers had a chance to tie things up and get over the hump. They never came back and tied it. They came within one run. They had one of their better base runners on second base with nobody out, and Contreras pulled a ground ball. Doesn't allow Frelick to advance. The next two batters, Tyler Black and Willy Adames, both struck out on splitters. That was against Mark Leiter Jr., who is the Cubs' best reliever. I know he's not their closer, but you can also argue that the Brewers' best reliever isn't always their closer in Yoel Piamps. That was a tough task, but the Brewers did not move Sal Frelick from second base with nobody out, with the exact guys they wanted up. That's the reason they lost the game, not because Hunter Wendelstedt missed a strike to Brian Hudson. I'll stand firm in that. I'm fine with that. Heck of a comeback, too. Given, I mean, shoot, the first inning, six runs for the Cubs. That was like the fewest amount of runs they could have scored today. It was bases loaded and nobody out in the first inning when already 1-0. Bases loaded and one out. No, it was bases loaded, nobody out. Yeah, because Talkman, Happ, and Morrell all walked. That loaded the bases. Then he had the ground out fielder's choice. That scored a run. That made it 2-0. Then they reloaded the bases on the walk to Swanson. So they twice had the bases loaded with nobody out and one out. And then Wisdom and Armstrong both struck out in the first inning to make it just 2-0. But the Brewers had no answer for Jameson Taillon today. You tip your cap on that, but also it's like back-to-back days that the Cubs starting pitcher has had a great game plan against the Brewers. Got to score a run against the starter. Try to get him chased from this game because clearly, as you've seen the last 2 days, the Cubs' Achilles heel right now is their bullpen and how overworked they have been. Going into tomorrow, man, I'm feeling really good about the Brewers' bullpen. You didn't use any of the leverage arms today, and they only threw about 10 pitches on Friday's game. You know, that's being Piguero, Piamps, and McGill. You've seen all but Yency Almonte when it comes to leverage arms for the Cubs. Neris had to throw in stressful innings today, gave up a run, exposing the splitter to the guys. Mark Leiter Jr. had to throw high-stress innings today, and he had to get an up-down in as well. I'm sure he'll be available tomorrow, but that's another guy. That's 16 appearances now for Mark Leiter Jr. in game number 26, is this for the Cubs? 25? That's a ton. That's going to catch up. So tomorrow, the Brewers' bullpen is in a much better shape than the Cubs' bullpen is. Each day leads to the next. I don't want to overreact to the Wendell Stett call. Did he miss the call? Yes. Is it the only reason the Brewers lost the game? Absolutely not. So I wanted to make that clear here right off the top. I asked on Twitter for some replies about today's game that have nothing to do with the umpires. And y'all have delivered. That's over on Twitter at @Dom_Cotronio, DOM_COTRONEO. This one's a good one from Murphy's Mashers. Chirio's holding his own in a big league lineup. I don't need record numbers from a rookie, but a solid defense and offense, he's going to be so good. Reminder, Jackson's 20 years old. I thought we saw some really good ABs from him today. 2-for-4, pair of singles, going to the opposite field. He struck out once, played just fine in left field. Little bit of momentum. He's drawing, he's working counts. He's making things difficult on opposing pitchers. Love what we've seen from him. That's a good call. John Miller tweeting in, not that John Miller, saying, too bad the runners couldn't move up on the wild pitch. He got away. Maybe. Yeah, it was close, but I thought if you were watching, Vinny Rutino pointed out perfectly, like, look, those are the hardest ones to read when you're a base runner because you have no depth perception. When the ball is in line with you and it barely got by the catcher, you don't see the ball bounce away or the catcher panic. He didn't really get up and think like that ball was very far from him. So still, a base hit would have probably scored the run with Perkins' speed. So a base hit would have scored him either way, whether he was on third or whether he was on second. Obviously, a wild pitch from third makes things different, but not a huge deal. This one from SportsNut6. Sal hit a double. Yeah, Sal had a good day. Sal reached base three times, a double, an infield single, and a walk. Loved that from him. He also kept Nico Horner at first base. It looked like that was going to be a really big play in the seventh inning when Horner hit that single. He did eventually advance to second, but the strikeout ended that. The pair of strikeouts ended that inning. And then finally, I beg your pardon, the balk was all wrong. The balk was in the seventh inning, and the triple is what led off the eighth inning. My scorebook's a mess today. It was not as pretty as it was yesterday. A couple other tweets here. Let me get into these. This club just feels more resilient. This one from Dan Chipman. Even if they don't win these games where they fall down 4 or 5 runs early, they still put together good ABs and usually make a game of it. And that was Pat Murphy's quote after Saturday's game against the Yankees last week. I mean, that was their first true blowout loss. And obviously they lost back-to-back blowouts against the Yankees. But those were the only two games that the Brewers this season have not had an opportunity in the final at-bat, where technically the tying run was coming to the plate. They did it once again today. The resiliency is certainly coming through. This one from Ben, please score a run off the starter tomorrow. That's all I ask. I agree. Yeah, they got to get that done. Jeremiah, this team fought till the end. They never give up. This one from Dots MKE, Hudson is elite, and nothing will convince me otherwise. He was great. I want to break down his stuff as well. And then a really good point here by Gabe. The 2 through 5 hitters today went a combined 1-for-18 for the Brewers. That's the difference of the game, in my opinion. Yeah, the Contreras RBI single in the ninth inning as the only hit, but he was 1-for-5. Black was 0-for-5. Adames 0-for-5. Terang 0-for-3 with a walk and a reached on error. And then Reese was 1-for-3 with a walk and a run scored and an infield hit. So at least that was good to see from him. It was all about the bottom of the order today, especially in that seventh inning of how well they did. Over on the text line, this one from Josh in Milwaukee. The Brewers came up just short today, but their late offensive efforts in two games have been fantastic. Why don't we take any chances to run against Tyone and get him out of rhythm? Well, the Brewers barely had any base runners against him. With Terang being aboard during the Hoskins at-bat, there's a little bit of a dance when it comes to trying to steal bases. You know, you don't just automatically steal for the runner, for the batter. Some batters don't like it when you're trying to steal a base because it distracts them or maybe it changes their approach of what they're doing. I'm not saying that's what Reese is telling Bryce, but it's not like an auto go all the time. Another thing, Tyone was really mixing in a really good slide step today. You time out the pitcher. That's why you always see the first base coach with the stopwatch on him. You time the pitcher of how long he is taking to throw to the base and home the plate. and it becomes a math problem, right? So like, if my lead's 12 feet and it takes me about 4 seconds to get from there to second base if I'm the base runner, right? If the pitcher is throwing 1.3 seconds to the plate and the catcher's pop time is 2 seconds, right? That's roughly that's 2.3, right? And then you've got time for the ball to travel. You got time for the transfer or the tag or anything like that. So that's usually about a half a second, three quarters of a second. So if the pitcher's at 1.3 and you factor in that three quarters of a second with a 2 second pop time, boom, that's 4 seconds. That's right on time. That's a risky send. Whereas if the pitcher's like a 1.5 or a 1.6 and you're thinking, okay, you do the math, that's like a 4.2, the best case scenario for them to try to steal a base. And okay, yeah, you can do it. So Tyone was really mixing in the slide steps. I think that's part of the reason why it was difficult for the Brewers to try to steal second base against him today. This one from Doug. This team can put you to sleep for a while, then pow, wake you up quick, and they don't let up in a big game tomorrow to keep the lead. Really fun stuff from the Brewers. I do got to take a breather. Craig Kishon is going to join us in just a little bit once his Brewers Live is done. I want to talk a little bit about Tobias Myers coming up next and what went wrong for him and something he can glean from today's game. Brewers fall 6-5 in a thriller at Wrigley Field. Tomorrow will be a rubber game. 855-616-1620. 855-616-1620. Over on Twitter at @Dom_Catronio as well. Stay with us. This is Brewers Extra Innings on 620 WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
I'm in a Catronio. Brewers Extra Innings all season long is brought to you by Fifth Third Bank. With a local Milwaukee team, Fifth Third Bank also knows how to hit it out of the park. They've been serving businesses in the area for nearly 15 years, offering industry-specific expertise and local decision-making capabilities to help your business succeed. This is commercial banking value that only Fifth Third can deliver. Fifth Third Bank, National Association, member FDIC. I'm Dominic Catronio with Craig Kishon now joining us here on 620 WTMJ. Brewers fall 6-5 to the Cubs. We're going with you for a little less than another hour here on the flagship home of your Milwaukee Brewers. And Craig, real quick, give me your instant reaction to this game that has nothing to do with the umpires or the missed strike call against Hudson or anything like that. Give me your instant reaction from this 6-5 loss.
Well, I mean, it's entertaining. They've both been entertaining games. Just the fact that the Brewers have been able to come from behind and do something, especially against Cubs relief pitching. They're struggling against starters here right now and may tomorrow as well. But, I mean, my thing is this is a good series so far. This is really something I think a lot of people have been waiting to see so far this season. And quite frankly, Dom, it's just – you know, it's starting to wear me out. I've got enough gray hair in my head that I'm getting worn out by trying to wear out umpires here right now too. So it's I don't know, man. Yeah, it's really a shame. You don't want to lose by a run when things are sliced so tight like that on no calls.
But yeah, well, but let's get into the reason why the Brewers are trailing for the majority of this game, and that's Tobias Myers. Tobias had pitched well in his first two starts as a Brewer. Of course, the home run ball is clearly becoming a theme for him as being a problem, but you can survive home run balls when they're solo shots or you're getting length out of him. I thought, okay, gives up a solo leadoff home run to Nico Horner to start off the game. All right, well, hey, that's how he started the Pirates game, and he pitched great in his debut, getting through five innings. But then we saw something we don't normally see from Tobias Myers, and that's struggling with command. He walked four batters in the inning, three in a row at one point. Quite frankly, the fact that the Cubs only got one more run out of that, they had bases loaded, nobody out, and they only got one more run out of that, was a massive moment for the Brewers to have a chance to even make this a 6-5 game later in the contest, because they could have blown it open and ended this game really quickly in the first.
Yeah, there's no doubt. I mean, it's stunning when you know what the numbers are from the first inning, and the fact that he gave up two runs and one of those runs was on a home run, you're going, well, that probably should have been a 4-0, you know, Cubs lead at that point, minimum. I haven't seen too many guys give up the leadoff home runs and then do what he did after that. I know he's struggling by giving up home runs, and I agree with you. If it's a solo shot, even better, a two-run shot later in the third. But I think this guy's making progress, and I think The things that he's, you know, missing on right now are fixable. I think he's got the stuff for it. And it, to me, it still all starts with his poise on the mound. And I thought he did a really good job. 37 pitches in that first inning, to give up only one run after four walks. I'm not even looking at the home run at this point. I'm just looking at the fact that he gave up four walks and only one of those came around to score. And that was on a, that was on basically a fielder's choice ground out. So I thought he did pretty well.
And furthermore, 37 pitches in the first, he threw 36 for the rest of the game for his next three innings. And that home run you bring up, that was the backbreaker, in my opinion, because he had Morel 0-2. And then you've got Bush and Swanson, who aren't swinging as hot of bats as Morel right now. You had Morel 0-2, just like yesterday with Joe Ross, had him 0-2, obviously fell to 3-2 before he hit the home run. But you were one pitch away from getting him out, and then a ground ball could have ended that inning, could have been different. That was my moment saying, gah, 0-2 against Morel, you got to be able to put him away.
Yeah, that, and it's, you know, then all of a sudden you're down 4-0 and it's only the third inning, and you don't want those situations to be kind of crushing to you. I don't know if you let up a little bit after, you know, Hap's opening single to start that third inning thinking, you know, all right, I'm down here a little bit again. But, yeah, you got to make that. You got to get that final pitch to get the final out on Morel. And, you know, it didn't work out for him at that point. But, yeah, that was definitely a backbreaker considering what he had done in that first inning. And then a 1-2-3 second inning, you're thinking, hey, you know, right back in shape here. But didn't work out.
And furthermore, I see Tobias Meyer's stuff, and I know we've talked a lot about the high-riding fastball and what he can do with that without a lot of velo. What I think he can learn from this start is just look over to the other dugout. I see the repertoires and the arsenals, they're almost exactly the same between Tobias Meyer's and Jameson Taillon. Both have not high velocity, but high-rise fastballs. And one guy had his command, and the cutter was really good and was locating well and was all around the edges of the zone, and the other guy was not. He was missing middle-middle or missing big, and the middle-middle ones were punished for homers, and missing big always leads to walks in the big leagues. Watching what Jameson Taillon did to the Brewers today, just nipping at the edges, being precise, is what Tobias Meyer is going to learn he needs to do in the big leagues because, as you and I both know very well, mistakes always get punished at this level.
Well, yeah, and look at Taillon's season that started, you know, last year with the Cubs when he first arrived there. He didn't have a very good first half, and then he was able to make adjustments as the season went and finish really strong, and is probably even better than that now. So, and he's been around the league for a while. So if a veteran's got to go through that, you know, hopefully this 25-year-old kid can do the same thing. I think that's just a really good point. Sometimes you just have to, you know, look at what others in your situation who are similar pitchers, you know, have been doing and are doing right now. And hopefully Meyers can turn that corner pretty soon here.
Furthermore, tomorrow the Brewers have Freddie Peralta on the mound in a rubber game. His appeal on his suspension has not yet been heard, so he's allowed to play tomorrow. I imagine we'll hear about it Monday or Tuesday, whether or not the suspension will get reduced. So that's good news for them. And Freddie Peralta, if there's a guy, obviously they lose the losing streak, but you're going up against Javier Assad, who's quietly had a very good start to his season for the Cubs. This is a pitching matchup that signed me up for, regardless of what the wind is doing, because Freddie Peralta has been the guy for the Brewers, and I think there's going to be a little bit of extra behind him tomorrow to kind of say, all right, I've got a fresh bullpen behind me if I need it, but at the same time, I'm ready to go because I might not pitch for 2 weeks after today.
Well, yeah, there is that looming, the whole suspension thing and how much you individually are going to put into this outing. But I think the thing that is the headliner for me, Dom, is just the fact that how well Freddie started out this year, just embracing the ace role and the really good start. And then he kind of blew up a little bit at Pittsburgh two starts ago. And just the way he was able to rebound right back into that elite mode against Tampa before he was ejected. I think he's going to gear up for the Cubs even a little bit more here. I think there are certain players on this Brewer roster that would – quite frankly, just like to beat Craig Counsell. Been around him for a long time. There are different incentives for individuals, and I don't think it's anything nasty at all. I just think it's, hey, he was here, now he's there, and we got to go out there and beat those guys, a little extra incentive to show him what he's missing over here. So I would love to see all of that out of, you know, clearly this team's best starting pitcher.
Yeah, I agree entirely. Let's talk about the offense coming up next. A couple of texts and a couple of tweets that have rolled in here. Dom, I can't take this. We need arms. We have a really good team. We need arms. Doesn't everybody this time of year? I agree, though. Maybe Robert Gasser could be on the way at some point next week as well. This one over on Twitter, a couple of the responses that have come through here. The Perkins home run, hand clap emoji was great. This year's club being so resilient, also good. And then this one made me chuckle, kind of the point that you were just saying, Craig. We have a better manager and coaching staff. Woo, top rope stuff there from Todd on Twitter. Take a breather. Come back with more with Craig Kishon. I'm Dom Catronio. Brewers fall 6-5 to the Cubs. This is Brewers Extra Innings.
This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Welcome back. I'm Dom Catronio, along with Craig Kishon. I'll tell you what, down here, Craig, I'm sure it came through up there in Milwaukee, but it was a perfect day for baseball down here at Wrigley Field, despite
well,
the score.
Beautiful.
It was awesome, beautiful. Man.
Yeah.
We had a sold-out crowd, plenty, everything was jumping, Murphy's, the bleachers, you know, sluggers down the road, everything was jumping when I was walking into the ballpark today at 10 o'clock. So it was a really, really fun day. Sidebar, too, about the fun, despite the loss today. One of my favorite traditions, I got to tag along. It was rookie coffee day. The quote-unquote, I use hazing extremely loosely, but just kind of the ritual, if you will, of full uniform, rookies, got to go get coffee for the veterans, in full uni at the Starbucks across the street from Wrigley Field. That always makes me smile, just a reminder that, hey, it's a long season and we can take a bit of levity here and there.
I saw that, and I saw you in the background too there, big boy. Saw you in the background, and I think it's a really neat thing. I've been down there for that before, but I honestly have never trekked over with those guys. And my goodness, 9 rookies make their way over there. That's telling, isn't it, for this series and what's going on down there. But what was it like to go over there with those guys and get all that big order in?
It was fun because, you know, Tobias Meyer is obviously a rookie, too. The soft rule in the clubhouse was if you had less than 100 days of service time, you were going on this trip. So guys like Jared Koenig and guys like Sal Frelick are sitting there, and Brian Hudson are like, wait a minute, I've made my big league debut. And you're like, no, you're still a rookie. And that's the reason why I went. I really enjoyed walking with Jackson. He was the only Spanish speaker of the group. And just kind of seeing him get a little bit out of his comfort zone, walking around, taking photos with fans. And it was a really fun moment because it's a rite of passage. I was talking to some of the older veterans on this team, asking them about their initiations as rookies. Look, these guys have it a lot easier these days, but for good reason too. But it's always fun. And the guys take it in stride, which is the best part. A close team, it's part of the gig, it's part of what they do. And they were all joking, like, hey, you should bring Charlie Green. And Charlie Green just chaperoned it, and he's got actual service time, too, in the big leagues as well. And then Wade Miley chimed in, hey, wait a minute, Pat Murphy doesn't have any service time, we got to bring him in. So he obviously stayed back for that. But Wade Miley played a really good joke on the guys, too, on the way back in. The security guards did not let the players back in because many people don't know this. There's an actual MLB player's credential given out to all the players, and it allows them to access every ballpark. And, you know, no security guard's actually going to ask for that player's credential. But as a joke, Wade Miley called down to Cubs security, said, hey, when these guys come back, ask for their player credential. And like two guys had it on them, but then the other guys are like, no, we don't have it on us. And they were freaking out, and kudos to the Cubs security staff. They were holding firm, like, no, you can't come in here, man. You don't have your credential. We don't know if you're a player or not. Just because you're in uniform doesn't mean you're a ball player. And seeing the guys react, like, what? And I was just sitting there keeping my mouth shut. It was awesome.
That is fun. You know, it's so funny you mention that, because when I saw the video and these guys going over in full uniform, wheeling a cart across the street, you know, down the block, going into a public establishment among all the fans down there and stuff, wearing their uniforms. Now, look, there occasionally we see this when we go to ballparks, including ours. Some people, very few, but some people get dressed up in full Major League uniforms that they purchase and want to wear as part of their fan base. And it just, when you see these guys carrying coffee and pushing a cart down the street with Joe Average public out there, it doesn't make them look like big leaguers. Let's just put it that way. So I think that joke's kind of funny trying to get back in the ballpark.
So let's get into the baseball, though, with the players now. A guy that I talked about before you had come on, and a good tweet about this too, is Jackson Chourio is showing signs. And I want to remind folks, this is not a one-year deal. It's not going to be like, oh, he's a bust after a month of baseball. We've been playing baseball for a month, y'all. It's okay. There is going to be ups and downs. And I'm certainly starting to see signs that there might be an upswing on the way here for Chourio. And I think the number one thing that I'm noticing, is, aside from the lack of strikeouts as of late, but the quality contact. You know, he's lined a couple of baseballs. He's using the whole field again as well. I'm intrigued of this last week or so from Jackson Chourio.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. And I think that's something that, you know, it's to me, it's easy to notice with Chourio because he's still playing every day, really, for the most part, no matter – you know, if he's in a little mini slump or, you know, things just aren't going his way. But I think the more telling sign is it's more often than not that things are going his way. And even those little things like yesterday, getting his first pinch hit appearance in the majors, that's something new to him. I doubt very much he did a lot of pinch hitting when he was in the minor leagues, by the way, either. So just kind of a newer role, getting used to that, and he was able to come through and kind of spark that comeback in the eighth inning, steal a base, score a run, couple of hits today, scored a run. You know, he's threatening on the base pass, scored from third on that error in the seventh inning today as well. I mean, this is a guy that's going to do a lot of damage against you. And I think the other thing too, in my opinion, you know, he played left field today. So now he's playing both corner spots a little bit more. But I just think he just looks a lot more comfortable as a big league outfielder, you know, after being out here with these guys and being on the major league team, you know, from spring training. I think things looked a little shaky here and there. But now I just see his feet more solidly on the ground, whether he's in the outfield or, you know, what he's doing at the plate. And we know his eye is really still good at the plate, and he's seen a lot of different pitchers too.
He's certainly, it's not easy to be the target of scouting reports in your first time in the big leagues. Don't let this kid beat you. But he had that 3-for-29 stretch in the middle of April, like coming back from Baltimore and the San Diego series. He had that 3-for-29 stretch where he really couldn't get anything going. Now, very quietly, over his last six games, he is 6-for-20. That includes yesterday's clutch pinch hit. And in this 6-for-20, he's only struck out three times. So he's putting bat to ball. He's putting the ball in play. He is going to get better. And I think we're already starting to see signs of it. It's not, and tomorrow he can go 0-for-4, and I can still feel this way. I got no problem with saying that, because Chourio getting this opportunity with Yelich being out, with Mitchell being out, it's been really important for him to continue to get everyday at-bats where he's not just getting buried on the bench, because he is going to be a piece of the future. The Brewers signed him for an extension for a reason, not just for 1 year, but for multiple years. And for Chourio to get on the right track sooner as opposed to later is going to make everybody happy, but you can't rush him because he's only 20 years old.
No, you can't make him have success. He's built to have success. But it's not instant, and it shouldn't be expected to be instant. But I think you have to, as a fan and from us on the other side covering this team, you just have to appreciate what he's going through here right now. And I can't imagine being Jackson Chourio right now, being, you know, 19 at spring training and having an 8-year contract commitment basically to be the face of the franchise for the future and have all eyes on you and really, quite frankly, say, now that I've signed this thing, I better start performing, and I better pick it up. I've got no room for failure or error. I mean, he hasn't said any of those things, and he hasn't acted like it either. So I think he really is coming along at a really, really good pace here right now. All the great ones never started out great. They became great because they had the ability to do it.
Yeah, there's this, I'm quoting Macklemore here. I can't believe I'm going to do this, but you know, the greats weren't great because at birth they could paint. The greats were great because they paint a lot, you know, meaning like artists and that sort of thing, like and that. So it's like, you're not great because you're great when you come out of the womb. You're great because you kept doing it and you kept showing up. And Robin Yount's great because he did it a lot. He got 3,000 hits, right? Paul Molitor is great because he had so much variety in his game, and he had a lot of doubles and a lot of hits and all that. That Ryan Braun was great because he hit a lot of home runs. Christian Yelich is great because he does a lot. So we're 1 month into this sample size. Let it build. Let it be better. Real quick, before I let you go, you know, the offense today, the middle portion was the real backbreaker for the Brewers today, going 1-for-18, 2-through-5 in the order, William being that one hit. William's allowed to have a game that he's human here and there, but it's the games when the guys behind him are human. I sit here and start wondering, like, man, that three hole, it's been such a rotating door without Christian Yelich. They've been a completely different team without him. Today was Tyler Black getting his first 0-for in the big leagues. Willie had a tough day today as well, going 0-for-5, but I look at the 3-4-5 spots in the order. The Brewers have just not been able to find a stable 3-4-5 without Christian Yelich.
Yeah, and I thought it was interesting today that, if I'm not mistaken, that Bryce Terang was batting as high as he had yet this season. I don't think he's been in that number 5 hole yet.
Correct.
And you mentioned the 3 hole and kind of the lack of production here right now, trying to move guys in and out in Yelich's spot. I don't know, maybe imagine if, Terang is up there maybe even as soon as tomorrow. I don't know if Murph puts him up there or not, but he's really becoming so consistent at the plate and a bigger threat, it seems like, each game he plays at the plate. Had a base hit today and a walk, so he was on twice. But it's been a problem since Yelich went out to find somebody to either hit ahead of Willie or just be in that number 3 hole with some consistency.
And Terang, granted, that one hit was changed back to an error, as it should have been, but Terang, he put the ball in play all but the walk, obviously, and he did it with 2 strikes. It's no big deal. If Sal didn't have such a good day today, I was ready to start the conversation of, when does Bryce go to the leadoff spot and you flip Frelick into that 5 spot? But that can hold for a little bit. But maybe, you know what, screw it, put Bryce in the 3 hole tomorrow and see what happens. And what's the worst that can happen? Why not?
Yeah. Yep, I agree with you. I agree with you. And Sal's holding his own at the top of the lineup. I don't know if he's the ultimate leadoff hitter for this club. I think the one thing that I've admired the most about the lineup is it's got some variety to it from game to game, and I think that's really important for these guys, and not something that we were used to seeing. You know, when Counts was managing, he liked to stick with certain guys or certain positions, batting in a certain spot in the order. And, Murph and his ability to kind of rely on his coaches and stuff for input, gives some variety to this. So we'll see what happens with Frelick down the road.
I mean, Sal is 24 years old. He's leading off big league games. He's got a batting average that's 12 points better than league average. He's got an on-base percentage that's 20 points better than league average. I can sit here and say comfortably, yeah, I'm fine with him being leadoff, because you figure when they're all healthy, and this includes Garrett Mitchell, whatever they decide to do in the outfield because of how great Blake Perkins has been playing. But with Sal Frelick in the leadoff spot, William batting second, Yelly batting third, let's just go ahead and put Rhys Hoskins batting cleanup, Willie Adames batting fifth, Terang and Mitchell 6-7, and then you've got the options of Churio or Ortiz or Dunn or Perkins down there at the bottom to figure out that. But that 1-7 really excites me when they're healthy. They're just obviously not healthy right now. And a reminder, they're the youngest offense in baseball and still scoring 5 runs today, albeit late. They scored 5 runs to get close and set up tomorrow's rubber match. Craig Kishon joining us here on WTMJ. We'll talk about it with him again tomorrow. This was a fun one. Let's hope for more fireworks on the good side of things for the Brew Crew on Sunday afternoon. Thanks, Craig.
You got it, Tom.
All right, Craig Kishon on WTMJ. A couple other tweets and texts to hit here as well in the next segment. Then we'll hear from Pat Murphy, and we'll also get to the highlights a little bit later in the program here on 620 WTMJ. PEI is brought to you in part by Sider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical. Trust in your family's comfort at home with Sider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical. And right now, you can save up to $1,500 off Central Air Systems. That runs till June 15th. You can book your appointment to save $1,500 off of your Central Air System at Sider, SEIDER.com. As I'm watching the red line pass northbound here at Wrigley Field, Brewers fall 6-5 on this Saturday afternoon. A couple of texts that I haven't addressed yet. This one from Lori and Franklin. Good game. Some plays could have gone better than other. What about the ball that was called on Willie in the ninth? Why can't Black get a helmet that fits? I will talk to Tyler Black about this tomorrow. As Lori continued, it's always bouncing around on his head and he's wasting energy, concentration, keeping it on his head. Come on, coaches and equipment manager. Some guys like it that way. Some guys don't want it too tight and they want to just swing, have it pop off, and not have to worry about it. It's all personal preference. And with the C-flap nowadays, balance is a little tougher for the guys that like that looser fit with the helmet. Look, in every highlight clip I've ever seen of Tyler Black in the minors, his helmet's flying off. So this might be just something he likes. Kind of like, remember, Sal Frelick last season with the Brewers, too. And, of course, those two guys are best friends. A few other tweets over on the WTM or on Dom underscore Catronio. Don't even know my own Twitter handle sometimes. Need to start swinging more and quit looking at strikes. I think today you look at what Jameson Taillon was doing, as I mentioned earlier with Tobias Myers, right? Like, they have the same repertoire. Fastball, cutter, slider, curve, and a rare change, right? You have, and not a lot of velo, 92, 93. You have to dominate the corners. You have to keep guys guessing. Jameson Taillon's cutter was really, really good today. And the Brewers could not make the adjustment against him. You make the adjustment, and then we talk about it. But Jameson Taillon outpitched the Brewers today, to say the least. A couple of other ones. Brewers got help yesterday and early in the game today. You just got to live with it when it comes to the calls with Hunter Wendelstedt and the missed strike three call to Patrick Wisdom before his single in the eighth inning. A couple of other ones that came through here as well. Please score a run. We already talked about that one. A one-run loss with Tobias Myers pitching is nothing to be down about. As long as Peralta doesn't give up a homer and then proceed to hit that guy tomorrow, I feel pretty good about taking the series. Fought to the end. This team never gives up. Blake Perkins is simply him. That's a good one, too. Perkins, he's been good, man. I think, you know, he had a couple of offers in there in the Yankee series and the Rays series. You know, he had that. He went 0 for 3 on Saturday against the Yankees, 1 for 4 on Sunday, 0 for 4 Ray, 0 for 4 Ray, and then he got back on track. New month, and he's getting things going again. Today, he had a hit, of course, in the home run into the basket in right center field. He also had a walk, 2 runs scored. Still, Perkins on the year for a guy who's really never been an everyday player in his career, now being asked to play every day. He's got a .371 on base percentage in 105 plate appearances. That's, you know, you slowly start getting more and more of a sample size. And you talk to coaches and evaluators around baseball, you know, the thought of, like, once you get like 125, 150 plate appearances, you start to really feel like you know what a player is going to be able to produce. And that becomes a more stable number to start predicting what that player will produce. So if Blake Perkins is still going to have a .350+ on base percentage when Garrett Mitchell returns, which isn't even until the end of the month, June potentially even, I'm going to have a hard time taking him out of the order. Now, does Garrett provide more power? Maybe. But Garrett also has the volatility with the strikeout. So these are things that the Brewers are currently weighing. Maybe Garrett will be better suited to hit his way back up. I don't know, because of the way that Blake Perkins has been performing right now. 855-616-1620, 855-616-1620. 1620 if you want to join us here on the program as well. Some games happening right now. A lot of rain is impacting baseball right now. And how about what's happening in St. Louis? The Cardinals are in extras against the White Sox. The White Sox took the lead in the top of the 10th, 6-5. They scored the placed runner thanks to Tommy Pham. But right now, The bases are loaded in the bottom of the 10th inning, down by a run, and they're in a rain delay. Bases loaded, two outs, down by a run, and they're in a rain delay with an 0-1 count and Nolan Gorman at the plate against John Brebbia. That stinks. It is pouring at Busch Stadium right now. Other games that are delayed, the Marlins and the A's, they're delayed out in the Bay Area, and the Phillies hosting the Giants are delayed here at the top of the hour as well, so they're not getting going on time. How about the Marlins making a move in May, trading Luis Arraez to the Padres for Woo-Suk Go and a couple of prospects as well. You may have seen the clip by now of the San Antonio Missions having to pull one of the guys that was traded in the middle of the game while he was on second base, and he was totally confused and things of that nature. But how about Peter Bendix today, flat out on May 4th, saying we are not likely to make the playoffs? Yeah, I mean, of course, you know, and I'm not trying to bury him here. They're 9-25 on the season. But Peter Bendix has not had a good week with the media, but you know, that's kind of one of those things that you don't need to say out loud, man. Yeah, we're not likely to make the playoffs. Well, this was the team you rolled with, and you know, quite frankly, Kim Ng got out at the right time, and they were totally disrespecting Kim Ng with trying to hire somebody above her after bringing them to the playoffs last season. And now this team is going to be the worst team in baseball, or at least in the National League. The Brewers will see them in a couple of weeks at American Family Field, and I believe they're going to see them actually coming up in that next three-city road trip later this month. Yeah, they're going to go Houston, Miami, and then Boston. Big, long trip there for the Brewers coming up. They'll go to Miami for a midweek three-game series. No Arraez, maybe, you know, and obviously a lot of their pitching is hurt right now, too, like Jesus Luzardo. That could be you know, somebody that's acquired with multiple years of control still remaining. It would be his third trade in his career. He's been traded by the Nationals. He's been traded by the A's. And now he could be traded by the Marlins as well. Sandy Alcantara is injured. Yuri Perez is injured. Jazz Chisholm has not been the star that they had hoped he would be. The Marlins are in a tough spot. Sorry to bury them here in the Brewers postgame show. But other games that have already gone final: Yankees beat the Tigers 5-3 in the Bronx. Twins make it 12 in a row. It's a dozen. They beat the Red Sox 3-1. The Brewers, they fall to the Cubs 6-5. They are 20-12 on the season. The Cubs improved to 20-14. Tomorrow's pitching matchup, as we said a moment ago, Freddy Peralta against Javier Assad. I'm excited for this one. A pair of really good righties at the start of the season. Assad, a 1.97 ERA in his first six starts of the year. 32 innings. He's only allowed 23 hits. That's a .205 batting average. He will walk guys. 9 walks. Also 2 homers allowed. Wonder what he's going to get going tomorrow for the Brewers. And Freddie will be making the start counter him, of course, appealing his suspension. The Brewers are a perfect 6-0 in games started by Freddy Peralta this year. They're 5-1 in games started by Colin Ray this year, so they're 1-2 right now. They are 11-1 in those games. Freddy, 3-0, a 3.21 ERA, 33 2/3, 45 strikeouts, 4 homers, and 9 walks. Opponents are hitting 171 with a whip of 086. That should be a fun one tomorrow. Same time, same place. I've got Brewers warm-up starting up at noon. Network coverage will take over at 12:45. First pitch is at 1:20, and I'll be with you after the game as well on 620 WTMJ. We're going to hear from the manager, Pat Murphy, coming up shortly. Also some highlights. Here is the Brewers fall 6-5 from Wrigley Field on 620 WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
BEI is brought to you in part by Sider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical. Trust in your family's comfort at home with Sider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical. And right now, you can save up to $1,500 off Central Air Systems. That runs till June 15th. You can book your appointment to save $1,500 off of your Central Air System at Sider, Sider.com. As I'm watching the red line pass northbound here at Wrigley Field, Brewers fall 6-5 on this Saturday afternoon. A couple of texts that I haven't addressed yet. This one from Lori in Franklin. Good game. Some plays could have gone better than other. What about the ball that was called on Willie in the ninth? Why can't Black get a helmet that fits? I will talk to Tyler Black about this tomorrow. As Lori continued, it's always bouncing around on his head, and he's wasting energy, concentration, keeping it on his head. Come on, coaches and equipment manager. Some guys like it that way. Some guys don't want it too tight, and they want to just swing, have it pop off, and not have to worry about it. It's all personal preference. And with the C-flap nowadays, balance is a little tougher for the guys that like that looser fit with the helmet. Look, in every highlight clip I've ever seen of Tyler Black in the minors, his helmet's flying off. So this might be just something he likes, kind of like, remember, Sal Frelick last season with the Brewers, too. And, of course, those two guys are best friends. A few other tweets over on the WTM, or on Dom underscore Catronio. Don't even know my own Twitter handle sometimes. Need to start swinging more and quit looking at strikes. I think today you look at what Jameson Taillon was doing, as I mentioned earlier with Tobias Myers, right? Like, they have the same repertoire. Fastball, cutter, slider, curve, and a rare change, right? You have, and not a lot of velo, 92, 93. You have to dominate the corners. You have to keep guys guessing. Jameson Taillon's cutter was really, really good today. And the Brewers could not make the adjustment against him. You make the adjustment, and then we talk about it. But Jameson Taillon outpitched the Brewers today, to say the least. A couple of other ones. Brewers got help yesterday and early in the game today. You just got to live with it when it comes to the calls with Hunter Wendelstadt and the missed strike three call to Patrick Wisdom before his single in the eighth inning. A couple of other ones that came through here as well. Please score a run. We already talked about that one. A one-run loss with Tobias Myers pitching is nothing to be down about. As long as Peralta doesn't give up a homer and then proceed to hit that guy tomorrow, I feel pretty good about taking the series. Fought to the end. This team never gives up. Blake Perkins is simply him. That's a good one, too. Perkins, he's been good, man. I think, you know, he had a couple of offers in there in the Yankee series and the Rays series. You know, he had that. He went 0 for 3 on Saturday against the Yankees, 1 for 4 on Sunday, 0 for 4 Ray, and then he got back on track. New month, and he's getting things going again. Today he had a hit, of course, in the home run into the basket in right center field. He also had a walk, 2 runs scored. Still Perkins on the year for a guy who's really never been an everyday player in his career, now being asked to play every day. He's got a .371 on-base percentage in 105 plate appearances. That's, you know, you slowly start getting more and more of a sample size. And you talk to coaches and evaluators around baseball, you know, the thought of, like, once you get like 125, 150 plate appearances, you start to really feel like you know what a player is going to be able to produce. And that becomes a more stable number to start predicting what that player will produce. So if Blake Perkins is still going to have a .350+ on-base percentage when Garrett Mitchell returns, which isn't even until the end of the month, June potentially even, I'm going to have a hard time taking him out of the order. Now, does Garrett provide more power? Maybe. But Garrett also has the volatility with the strikeout. So you have, these are things that the Brewers are currently weighing. Maybe Garrett will be better suited to hit his way back up. I don't know, because of the way that Blake Perkins has been performing right now. 855-616-1620, 855-616-1620, if you want to join us here on the program as well. Some games happening right now. A lot of rain is impacting baseball right now. And how about what's happening in St. Louis? The Cardinals are in extras against the White Sox. The White Sox took the lead in the top of the 10th, 6-5. They scored the placed runner thanks to Tommy Pham. But right now, the bases are loaded in the bottom of the 10th inning, down by a run, and they're in a rain delay. Bases loaded, 2 outs, down by a run, and they're in a rain delay with an 0-1 count and Nolan Gorman at the plate against John Brebbia. That stinks. It is pouring at Busch Stadium right now. Other games that are delayed, the Marlins and the A's, they are delayed out in the Bay Area, and the Phillies hosting the Giants are delayed here at the top of the hour as well, so they're not getting going on time. How about the Marlins making a move in May, trading Luis Arraez to the Padres for Woosuck Go and a couple of prospects as well. You may have seen the clip by now of the San Antonio Missions having to pull one of the guys that was traded in the middle of the game while he was on second base, and he was totally confused and things of that nature. But how about Peter Bendix today, flat out on May 4th, saying we are not likely to make the playoffs? Yeah, I mean, of course, you know, and I'm not trying to bury him here. They're 9-25 on the season, but Peter Bendix has not had a good week with the media. But, you know, that's kind of one of those things that you don't need to say out loud, man. Yeah, we're not likely to make the playoffs. Well, this was the team you rolled with. And, you know, quite frankly, Kim Ng got out at the right time, and they were totally disrespecting Kim Ng with trying to hire somebody above her after bringing them to the playoffs last season. And now this team is going to be the worst team in baseball, or at least in the National League. The Brewers will see them in a couple of weeks at American Family Field. And I believe they're going to see them actually coming up in that next three-city road trip later this month. Yeah, they're going to go Houston, Miami, and then Boston. Big, long trip there for the Brewers coming up. They'll go to Miami for a midweek three-game series. No Arise, maybe, you know, and obviously a lot of their pitching is hurt right now, too, like Jesus Luzardo. That could be, you know, somebody that's acquired with multiple years of control still remaining. It would be his third trade in his career. He's been traded by the Nationals. He's been traded by the A's. And now he could be traded by the Marlins as well. Sandy Alcantara is injured. Yuri Perez is injured. Jazz Chisholm has not been the star that they had hoped he would be. The Marlins are in a tough spot. Sorry to bury them here in the Brewers postgame show. But other games that have already gone final, Yankees beat the Tigers 5-3 in the Bronx. Twins make it 12 in a row. It's a dozen. They beat the Red Sox 3-1. The Brewers, they fall to the Cubs 6-5. They are 20-12 on the season. The Cubs improved to 20-14. Tomorrow's pitching matchup, as we said a moment ago, Freddy Peralta against Javier Assad. I'm excited for this one. A pair of really good righties at the start of the season. Assad, a 1.97 ERA in his first six starts of the year. 32 innings. He's only allowed 23 hits. That's a .205 batting average. He will walk, guys. 9 walks. Also, 2 homers allowed. Wonder what he's going to get going tomorrow for the Brewers. And Freddy will be making the start counter him, of course, appealing his suspension. The Brewers are a perfect 6-0 in games started by Freddy Peralta this year. They're 5-1 in games started by Colin Ray this year, so they're 1-2 right now. They are 11-1 in those games. Freddy, 3-0, a 3.21 ERA, 33 2/3, 45 strikeouts, 4 homers, and 9 walks. Opponents are hitting 171 with a whip of 086. That should be a fun one tomorrow. Same time, same place. I've got Brewers warm-up starting up at noon. Network coverage will take over at 12:45. First pitch is at 1:20, and I'll be with you after the game as well on 620 WTMJ. We're going to hear from the manager, Pat Murphy, coming up shortly. Also some highlights. Here is the Brewers fall 6-5 from Wrigley Field on 620 WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Post time for the Kentucky Derby. You know, Jason Wirth is actually a part owner of the horse that is going to be on the rail, Dornick, number one. Keep an eye out. Jason Wirth has 10% of that horse, who is the brother of last year's Kentucky Derby winner. Was it? Is it Sage Mage? I forget what it was, but just keep an eye out. There's a little baseball tie-in for you. Pat Murphy liked to talk about horse racing a little bit. He told stories in spring training that growing up, you know, he grew up in Syracuse, New York, upstate New York, and they would go to Saratoga. There was a track out there when he was younger, and his dad would go, and, you know, the joke he told, you know, it was off-brand, but it was just sort of, you know, we would decide whether or not to eat there or not based on how well the horses did. So it was kind of like, all right, are we staying the night, or are we driving back, or are we, you know, eating a good dinner, or are we just having some peanut butter and jellies in the back seat? So he was kind of funny about that. And I really liked his term that he brought up, calling the sprinters of the team, you know, the guy, maybe not an opener per se, but like a Jacob Junis type role, to be a quarter horse, you know, just a quarter length of a track to sprint, you know. That could stick. I like that term. I like that better than an opener as opposed to a starter. Anyway, Pat Murphy audio not coming through today, but a big update that he gave is that Joey Weimer's MRI came back ligament damage free. No ACL, MCL, anything like that, but I'm not even going to try to pronounce the muscle. I'll give it a shot. Popliteus? I don't know. That's the muscle strain that is specific being called as strained by Joey Weimer yesterday. It is an in the back of the knee, and just a quick Google search here from the National Institute of Health, .gov, despite its small size, the popliteus is a major stabilizing muscle of the knee. The popliteus is involved in both the closed chain phase and open chain phase of the gait cycle. During the closed chain phase, which is when the foot is in contact with the ground, the muscle externally rotates to the femur on the tibia. And that is your biology lesson here on Brewers Extra Innings. So a strained popliteus muscle in his knee for Joey Weimer. He was already placed on the IL today due to that issue that he sustained in yesterday's game. Andre Monasterio was called up as a utility man for the Brewers. As the injuries continue to pile up, every team's going through it. I mean, look on the other side, right? They don't have Seiya Suzuki right now. They don't have Cody Bellinger right now. They don't have their ace, Justin Steele, right now. Kyle Hendricks, although he's underperformed so far this season, he's not available. Jordan Wicks is not available. Drew Smyly is not available. Every team goes through injuries. I compare it to injuries like traffic. You think your city is the only one that has traffic? You think your team is the only one that has injuries to it? Everybody does. It's who deals with that adversity the longest and makes it work while they're injured are the ones that are successful. I mean, shoot, the Phillies just lost Trey Turner today for 6 weeks with a strained hamstring. Mike Trout's going to be out for a long time with a torn meniscus. Spencer Strider out for the year with an internal brace in his right elbow. I mean, it is not an individual thing. It's how deep you are, and that's why, you know, every single guy on the 40-man matters. And today, as we learn with the Brewers falling 6-5, every out matters, every at-bat matters. You know, a solo homer by Patrick Wisdom off Thiago Vieira, it mattered. And then, of course, every pitch matters. The sweeper that wasn't called against Brian Hudson could have been strike three against Wisdom. Instead, it wasn't. Then he singles on the next pitch up the middle. Everything matters. It's your depth. Everything will be tested. And tomorrow will be a very fun rubber game. And on that note, on the injury front, Christian Yelich, he is running. He is swinging. I mean, he's running pretty aggressively right now out on the fields with Scott Behringer, head athletic trainer for the Brewers. I'm going to effort an update either tomorrow or Monday from Pat Murphy. He had told us, give us a week and we'll know more. And that was from Monday of last week. So maybe we'll find out more from Yelich. He traveled with the team. He's the only guy on the injured list that came down to Wrigley and will thus go on to Kansas City. And I don't think he would be activated in Kansas City, but maybe we can dream about next homestand if this activity continues to ramp up the way it has ramped up for Christian Yelich. So something to monitor as well. Up next, we're going to play some highlights. There was a lot of them. A 6-5 ball game. Fun day at the yard here at Wrigley Field. We're going for another 20 minutes or so right here in your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Let's get to the highlights as the Brewers fall 6-5. But, man, there were plenty of stuff along the way. Let's hit it. In the first inning, once again, Tobias Myers, unfortunately becoming a trend for him, leadoff home runs.
1-1. High fly ball out to left. Back on it is Churio at the wall. It is gone. First home run of the season for Nico Hoerner.
First one of the year, leadoff shot, second time in the three starts that the young right-hander Tobias Myers has allowed a leadoff home run. Of course, Andrew McCutchen, the other one, in his first big league start on the first pitch of his big league career. Then later in the frame, he walked the bases loaded, allowed a fielder's choice to allow a run to score, but then nothing else came in after that, as it made it only 2-0 with the Cubs in the lead. Then in the third, a backbreaker. 0-2 count on Christopher Morel, a chance to keep it at 2-0.
And here's a drive deep, deep left center. Morel has pulverized this one. This is one of the longest home runs you'll see at Wrigley. Way out of here. Two-run homer. It is 4-0 Chicago.
That was a no-doubter from Josh Maurer, and Josh Maurer on the call from Christopher Morel's bat. Then, just for good measure, as the bullpen started to get in action for the Brewers, first it was Jared Koenig, then it was Hobie Miller. Both of them threw zeros on the board. And the fifth, it was Thiago Vieira.
2-1 is a towering shot out to left and way out of here. It got up and out of here in a hurry, and that's what Patrick Wisdom can do. He has major power. That was his first home run of the season.
111 miles an hour off the bat, as called by Lane Grindle. Then things started to get interesting once Jameson Taillon was out of the game. He went six shutout frames with a season-high 7 Ks. It was an anybody-but-Taillon type day. In the seventh, it started with a leadoff walk. It seems to always do, right? The next batter was Oliver Dunn. Oliver Dunn was our pregame guest today. Well, I'll tell you what, it was certainly useful to have him on, maybe a little Brewers warm-up bump.
Dunn 0 for 2. Pitch coming to Oliver. Swing and a drive into the gap in right center field. That'll split Crow Armstrong and Tauchman. It's rolling all the way into the ivy. Being waved around third is Hoskins. He'll score. And all the way to third goes Oliver Dunn. No throw there. Brewers are on the board. It's an RBI triple. Oliver Dunn makes it a 5-1 game here in the seventh inning.
Second triple of the year for Oliver Dunn. He was moving. Brewers weren't done. Great AB coming up next from Blake Perkins. Fell behind 0-2. Fouled off a couple of pitches. Then took three tight pitches as well. Then on the eighth pitch of the at-bat.
Three balls, two strikes. The pitch. Swing, drive, right field. Back, Tauchman, track. Tauchman, wall. Tauchman, gone! Into the basket, a two-run home run, Blake Perkins. How do you do? This is a two-run game. 5-3 Chicago in the seventh.
Josh Maurer's call once again. Jackson Churio then lined the very next pitch into right field, and it would chase Keegan Thompson from the game. Man on first, still nobody out in Sal Frelicka.
Stretch in the 1-0. Swinging a ground ball, base hit. Pulled right between first and second base. First to third goes Churio. Frelick digging for second, throw. Gets away from Swanson. Here comes Churio to the plate, and he will score on an error.
Quite a bit of Brewer fans there that I hear there on the call from Josh Maurer. So all of a sudden, it's a one-run game, and the man on second with nobody out in the meat of the order coming up. But that will be all they get in the seventh inning. Contreras would ground out, and both Black and Adames would strike out. However, a zero in the bottom of the seventh, thanks to Brian Hudson, left the man stranded in the seventh inning on second base after a pair of looking strikeouts to Happ and to Morrell. But then in the eighth inning, Hudson went back out to work, allowed a leadoff triple, though, to Michael Busch, and those generally lead to runs. Next batter, Dansby Swanson, grounded out softly to third, did not allow to run to score. So one out, man on third base, Patrick Wisdom in a battle. On a 2-2 pitch, he watches a perfectly executed sweeper go over the plate at the knees, called a ball. And everyone was like, ooh, that should have been a strike. Two pitches later, he adds to the lead.
2-2. Line back up the middle and into center field for a base hit. Bush will score from third. Wisdom with an RBI single, and that's unfortunate because Hudson had strike three two pitches before.
Lane Grindle told you exactly how it was, but one last chance in the top of the ninth for the Brewers, and once again, it all started with a leadoff walk. Blake Perkins is aboard. Stay put on Jackson Churio's line out to right field. One out for Sal Frelick. He hit a comebacker to Hector Neris, who misplayed it. It allowed runners to get on first and second with one out. William Contreras, the exact guy he won up, down by two with two men aboard, at least kept chipping away.
Neris brings home the pitch. Line drive into right. That's going to get down for a base hit. Around third is Perkins. Here's the throw to the plate. It's cut off. And the Brewers are within a run. It's 6-5. Frelick stops at second. It's an RBI single for Contreras. Of course he delivers again.
Lane Grindle's call. And once again, the same situation you were facing the seventh. Meat of the order coming up. Base hit would tie the game. Tyler Black, in his first week in the big league, struck out. He had his first offer. He went 0-5 today. Then Willy Adames, the last hope, a gift of a strike call to made it 0-2. He fouled off a tough pitch and then ultimately grounded out to short to end today's ball game. Brewers fall 6-5. The loser is Tobias Myers. The starter, the winner, is Jameson Taillon. As we'll wrap up the program coming up after this, looking around the Major League scoreboard, give you some news and notes as well. As the Brewers fall, rubber game tomorrow in the Council v. Murphy first series of the year. Back after this from Wrigley on 620 WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
All right, final segment here on the program. We already talked about the Marlins quite a bit and their trade of Luis Arraez Didn't really touch on the Twins and their 12 wins in a row right now. Brewers fall here by a 6-5 score against the Cubs. Twins, 12 in a row. And, you know, I was talking about this with somebody in the clubhouse today that, you know, when the 10 in a row happened, oh, well, 7 of them were against the White Sox and 3 of them were against the Angels who didn't have Mike Trout. I mean, come on. Like, how impressive could it be? And now they're beating the Red Sox who have been starting to come back down to earth a little bit. But, look, I counter that. So, okay, so if they went, you know, over this 12-game stretch, if they went 7-5, no one bats an eye. It was like, wow, you lost 5 games to the White Sox and the Angels and to the Red Sox? Like, what's wrong with you? Or if you even if you go 8-2 or 8-4, like, people are like, oh, what? You lost 4 games of those teams? Really? You're in a lose-lose trying to pick apart, like, oh, well, they didn't play anybody. I mean, come on. Like, no. It's hard to win games in the big leagues. It really is. I mean, shoot, look, the Cubs almost lost today, and they got 6 shutout innings from their starter. It can turn in the blink of an eye. So don't poo-poo that 12-game winning streak. Brewers were on one a couple of years ago. That's real stuff. That's really, really important for the Brewers, or for the Twins, to try to keep up in the AL Central, which has certainly been a very competitive division. Cleveland is 20-12. Kansas City is 20-13. Kansas City is the next opponent for the Brewers. Kansas City is playing the Rangers tonight at 6:10. Then Minnesota, who have won 12 in a row, are just now at 19-13. They had started 7-13. Now they've won 12 in a row. So, and even Detroit, who lost today, they're 18-15. They're right in the middle of it as well. Then there's the White Sox, and the White Sox are the White Sox. They're 6-26 right now, and maybe they can be 7-26 if they can resume that game in St. Louis, which is still in a rain delay with 2 outs and the bases loaded, and the tying run on third down by a run for the Cardinals. And that would be huge for the Cardinals to lose, because they would fall to 15-18, 5.5 back of the Brewers. And the Brewers have a 4-game set with the Cardinals coming up next weekend at American Family Field, Thursday through Sunday. And quite frankly, next week, that homestand facing the NL Central, and this whole stretch of facing quality teams with the Cubs and the Royals, and then you'll come home for the Pirates and for the Cardinals. You can kind of take them to the woodshed if you can against the Pirates and the Cardinals. You're probably going to see Jared Jones, and maybe even if the Pirates decide to get frisky, decide to call up Paul Skeens for his major league debut. I don't know if they would do that in that following week, but that's something to keep an eye on, because Skeens is ready, man. I don't know what we're waiting for with Paul Skeens. Colleague Jordan Schusterman had a great point on his podcast, Baseball Barbercast, about what if the Pirates are just doing this reverse loading, where think about a couple of years ago when we saw, you know, the innings limit hit, or even last year from the Marlins, Yuri Perez. Granted, he got hurt, but Yuri Perez, there was an innings limit that even if they had gone deep in the playoffs, Yuri wasn't going to pitch in the postseason. Or like Steven Strasburg on his first run into the postseason with the Nats, they did not let him pitch deep into the postseason because he was at his innings limit. Maybe the Pirates are just going the other way around with Paul Skeens, saying, look, they're probably not going to make the playoffs, but have him pitching his best at the end of the season and letting him go with no restrictions as opposed to restricting him at the end of the season. I thought that was a really interesting point that that fellow podcaster Jordan Schusterman had said on his programming. Other games happening right now, the Blue Jays are up on the Nats 6-2 in our nation's capital in the top of the 8th inning. Cleveland's up 2-0 on the Angels in the top of the 3rd as well. They're about to get going in about an hour or so in Oakland as the A's are dealing with a rain delay. Have you all noticed? The A's, if they win today, they'll be 500. They'll be 17-17. They're playing better than a lot of people gave them credit for. And that's a dire situation with the ballpark stuff and everything happening there. Kudos to that team for keeping it together and getting ready to play some baseball. So that's a little look around the league. Again, tomorrow, same time, same place, noon for the pregame show here on WTMJ. I've got you for Brewers warm-up. Network will take over at 12:45. First pitch is at 1:20. Freddie Peralta appealing his suspension. He will get the ball tomorrow unless something drastic changes. And then he'll be going up against right-hander Javier Assad. It's going to be another beautiful day at Wrigley Field. A little cooler, so bring a sweater. But my thanks to Isaac Marquardt, our producer. I'm Dom Catronio. See you tomorrow. Keep on swinging.